Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of Bootstrapped Web. Brian, we've got carnage in the finance market, but we're going to...
Yeah, crazy day.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because you, this all is sort of going down with Silicon Valley Bank. And
yeah, last 24 hours.
I've actually been completely tuned out on that whole story. And I know you're totally tuned in, but...
Yeah, I mean, being in venture land, this is the only thing people are talking about. So my phone is full of text messages of concern, emails. Everyone's trying to figure out the situation.
Yeah, I've even been, I'm like tweeting, but I'm not like watching Twitter that much today and yesterday. So I've just been on work stuff. So yeah, it's actually all, it's like pretty fresh to me. We'll hear about it on air.
Yes, I'll happily give my 10,000 foot view. We're not going to claim to be, you know, banking experts, but it's a pretty scary situation.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, what do you got going on? How's your week?
It's, you know, busy as always. But you know what? I think today or when this podcast airs, I'm going to start to roll out all the changes and I'll announce a whole bunch of stuff with the product today. So here
all
we
go. We've been hearing bits and pieces of it. And, you know, if you're ready to kind of dive in, let's get started. I'll kind of ask the questions that come up and I think would come up for anyone in the audience. So,
sure. Well, let's just start with this. I'm changing the name from ZipMessage to something else. We're going to go with Clarity Flow is going to be the new name of the product. And it's going to be at clarityflow.com. And if you're hearing this, then I hope that I got clarityflow.com live by today.
There you go.
Talking about it on this podcast is kind of, you know, lighting a fire to get this little project out the door by next Thursday.
working on it for a year.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
All right. So Clarity Flow.
So I've been talking about the repositioning of the product, making it more of a coaching platform. I can talk a bit more about that. But you had asked me on the show a few months ago when I was talking about like here in 2023, I'm really thinking about this as like a relaunch of the business in many ways. We're not starting from zero. We're not rebuilding the app from scratch, of course, but in every other way possible, I'm thinking of this as a re-envisioning of what the product is and who it's for and where it's going. And the focus and the value. And you had asked me, well, are you going to change the name as well? And you were one of many people that I hear from in my, you know, mastermind groups and whatnot. And that question has been coming up ever since I've been talking about this directional change since like late 2022. And to be honest, for most of that period, I was like, no, I don't think we're going to change the name. You know, it wasn't even that I was really personally tied or interested in. I never really loved ZipMessage, to be honest, but it's just the process of changing the name and the idea of rebranding. I just did not want to even do it. So I thought that I could just do everything else, reposition, we're changing the pricing. Like a lot of stuff is changing, but maybe keep the name. But by January of this year, it was clear, like, you know what? If this is going to have the best chance of success, we have to have the right name, because there are some things about the name ZipMessage that sort of detract from where we're going with this.
Right. So, the words in the name itself, right, you want to make sure that you're giving across the right picture of what the product does. And so it's a good opportunity. If you want to kind of like relaunch and restart in a positioning context, then I feel like a name helps. And it is a lot of work and potentially a distraction. But if you conclude that it's the right thing, then it's like, all right, let's go the whole way.
Yeah. And, you know, when I say it's a lot of work, it's not just designing the new website and doing all that, but it's a lot of extra logistical work. And I don't know how much we can get into here, but I mean, it's also going to mean like changing the domain name, changing the domain on accounts, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, it does complicate things, but in the end, I believe that it has to happen. And now is a better time to do it than any time later on. So, I mean, first, like, why? Just the name itself. I mean, you know, it really comes down to, number one, we are repositioning as a coaching platform. So, you know, and I feel like in many ways we are changing categories here, shifting product categories. You know, you might have thought of Zip Message as a messaging tool, obviously, like an alternative to Loom or even Slack or Voxer or any of these other like chat apps or messaging apps. We need to move away from that. And everything that I've learned from coaches, and I continue to have so many of these. Are you okay there?
Oh, yeah, I am fine.
You know, I continue to have these research calls with coaches. It just becomes clearer and clearer what the product actually needs to be. And one of my thoughts with where Zip Message, the product, was, is it got to a point where it just felt like a one feature product, you know, just the, it was just the ability to record and swap messages back and forth. Right.
And nothing wrong with starting narrow in that way, but at some point it sounds like you felt like you need to build more around it.
Yeah. And it got to a point where, you know, through doing all those jobs to be done interviews, I started to really get a lot of clarity for lack of a better word on moving from just a feature to an actual product that solves a larger problem, a more valuable problem, and a more essential, like utility, especially if you're a coach. So, you know, so I spent most of the month of January of this year, you know, and I hated this process, but just looking for names, like making massive lists of name ideas, brainstorming, mm-hmm. like constantly, domains. Literally like 24 hours a day on these domain sites, just like, you know, because you got to come up with a name, but I'm pretty set on like, it had to be a .com. I don't want to do one of these other things. Mm-hmm. I also had some requirements, like I don't like it when names, no offense to Rally, but I don't like having these modifiers in the domain.
Oh yeah.
You know, I want the brand name Clarity Flow to be the whole domain.
Yeah. Rally made that pretty difficult. I think it's a cool 20 million for rally.com.
Yeah. So no, I get it. Yeah. So, you know, I didn't want to, you know, have to resort to like use Clarity Flow mm-hmm. or whatever it was. Right. A lot of people have asked, well, if you're going into coaching, why not use the word coach in the name of the product, right? Okay. And I thought about that. I considered several names that included the word coach in it. I landed on, you know what? No, I don't want to actually use the word coach, even though we are really positioning for coaches, as you'll see if you look at clarityflow.com. I think, first of all, it's just a little bit too limiting, you know. I think for the long term, we will be focused on coaches, but you never know what happens down the road or how this whole market might change or whatever it might be. But so I didn't want to like limit it that way. But also, you know, there are several other tools for coaches that use the word coach. I don't want to be sort of like, you know, confused with them. I remember when I was working on Process Kit, our main competitor was Process Street. And I mean, all the time people would confuse us. You know, we would have like customers saying to me on sales calls, like, I love your tool called Process Street. I'm like, well, we're Process Kit. So, yeah.
I hear you. People call us Rallyon.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yep. We actually just bought a new domain.
Oh, did you?
Yes, we did. All right. With a modifier, because we're not going to spend $20 million on a domain. Okay. Now, okay. I have to ask. Let's take a few steps back and get a few of like the foundational things. Who's this for? What's the problem that it's tackling, right? Like, this is an opportunity to kind of like go back to fundamentals and say, here's why we're doing this.
Totally. And this, I had a tweet about this today. This is what makes it so difficult. This road to product market fit, it's so difficult to do it now. I'm 2 years into the business. We have a customer base. We have a user base. We're not huge, but there's a little bit of, you know, name brand recognition among momentum, some circles, right?
Inertia, SEO.
But then you also have technical, like product design assumptions and technical decisions that were made very early on. Now, knowing what I know now after literally a year of research with customers, you know, the fundamental goals, the fundamental assumptions about who we are building this for, they're like all different than they were when I actually started ZipMessage. And we're not starting from scratch. Like, we're not rebuilding. So it's been really, really challenging to like work through all these new features and like adapt the product, and even adapt our marketing. You know, hopefully with the launch of clarityflow.com and everything, it becomes a lot more clear. But basically, from all my conversations with coaches, it's become like shockingly, like every call has been shockingly similar. Where even though the coaches might be in completely different markets, like I talk to business coaches, I talk to speech language coaches, I talk to music teachers, you know, there's a jujitsu coach there, you know, there's all sorts of different coaches out there. They all operate the same way in more or less the same structure to their business. They use similar types of tools. They have similar goals. They use the same words. And what it came down to was a coach needs to build their business in this way. Number one, they need to be having conversations with their clients. Coaching is obviously all about the client relationship, right? Conversations and the async conversation piece is what we've been up until now. So it's like we have the big check mark on that coming into it. Which I think is a big differentiator for us compared to a lot of other tools in this space. They don't have a really strong conversational relational element there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're starting from a different point of view.
Right. And number two is almost every coach has some sort of course or a library of content, of like course-like content. And more often than not, it's actually more like a library than a lesson one, lesson two, lesson three course. But what a lot of coaches do is they go to the course sellers, the course platforms, and they try to put all these 50 plus videos in a course platform. And then they try to pull videos from that and hand them to their coaching clients and use those as jumping off points for their coaching relationships. We're building a much more interactive course, basically making it like a course platform, but it's completely integrated with our conversations flow. So, you know, you can have your entire course, you can build interactive workflows. So when a student or a coaching client is going through your videos, they can easily just, you know, message you and ask questions and get coached through their course, whereas the other platforms don't make that very easy. The third piece is group spaces. So a lot of coaches are moving into like group coaching and having like these like mini groups, mini membership areas, which is very common. And then the fourth piece, of course, would be payments. So, you know, selling access to your coaching programs, selling access to your interactive courses, selling access to you to have conversations all async. We'll be getting into, you know, one time and subscription payments all handled. And, you know, the other thing that has come up a lot over the last year or 2 years with ZipMessage is that what every coach is trying to do is they're trying to take ZipMessage and duct tape it into a course platform or duct tape it into their payment solution, duct tape it into their, wherever they do their group membership areas, right? And you can do that to a certain extent. We have a Zapier integration and everything, but it is just clunky at best, especially when you have your coaching clients dealing with multiple logins, seeing multiple different tools. You know, there just really is much more of an opportunity to give a coach a fully seamless experience for their client to, you know, purchase, interact with the coach, get access to their content, and just have it all happen in one place, you know?
So this came out of conversations with ZipMessage customers. Is that the core of it? Is that like, you know?
Yeah, for the most part, I talk to a lot of coaches. I would say maybe 80% of them have been ZipMessage customers. But I was also introduced to several other coaches who are not. And all the similarities. I mean, literally this week I had three new conversations, you know. Oh, I've got all my videos stored in this WordPress course platform. And then I invite my my clients into this Discord over here, and then I take payments with just Stripe invoices, and then I, you know, and I try to Zapier it all together, but it doesn't really work. Like that comes up every single time.
You know? Okay, so like a bundled vertical solution for people with that set of needs and problems is that's what you're building.
Yep.
So how did you
just the one thing is like, you know, because I know that there are a lot of like zip message users maybe listening to this this thing is that like, again, we're not rebuilding the product from scratch. So everything that you've been doing with zip message in terms of sending, receiving messages, having conversational flows, all of that is very much still in the product. You can continue to use it that way. And that's actually like the core of our product. Like we've built workflows and threads and all that. Like it's all built around that. Like we start with conversations and we build it into a coaching platform basically.
Yeah. That's good. Cause you know, my guess is a lot of people listening have encountered this in one form or another. And it's really difficult to figure out how to not waste all the work that you've already done, how to keep existing customers happy, how to still pursue a different looking potential use case. So how did you get to the point where you want to take this on? Like the risk, the work?
I mean, you know, we've been talking about this thing, product market fit, forever. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had plenty of evidence from all of my research, but also the numbers that showed like we did not quite nail product market fit with what we had with Zip Message. You know, something needed to change. And early in 22, I was just looking at several different options for like niching down in some way. But it just became painfully obvious that coaches were the one. And even going back to the very, very beginning of Zip Message, we had coaches using it. And I thought I would niche down from the get-go. And I, looking back, I wish I sort of did, because it would have been so much easier to have those fundamental assumptions from day one. But I didn't. And
you were part of the cobbled together solution.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's what we've been. And again, that speaks to the name change. Like if you're looking at Zip Message,
like that's going to handle my messaging.
That's only just for messages, right? That can't handle my courses. That can't handle payments. That can't handle my groups. Like, you know, hopefully with the new website that you can see now on, you know, as of today, we have just a one-page version on clarityflow.com. We'll be building it out in the next few weeks. But hopefully this starts to illustrate just the all new vision for what Clarity Flow is, you know? And I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, it's like, I feel really confident given all the customer research that I've done. But I still have that sense of like, I don't know, because, you know, when people come to zipmessage.com today, they see a completely different product promise. When they come to the new Clarity Flow, it'll be a whole new value proposition in terms of what we're showing them and offering them. So, you know, you just never know how like the market is actually going to react when they're faced with like, what, you know, I don't know. I guess I'll learn a lot in the next few weeks.
I think most of us get in our heads and end up being more worried about more things than the general public.
I'm sure that's true.
Right. That's all of us do the exact same thing.
The other thing that I'll talk about here is that we are changing the prices. We're changing the model too. And again, this comes back to like the fundamental assumptions. Zip Message was freemium and relatively low priced. And that's because early on in the first year, I committed to the idea that like, we're in this market with all these other messaging tools that we're basically competing with all these free tools.
That's right. And you were competing with one that had like the default. It's like competing with Calendly.
Yeah.
Right. You were competing with Loom, which was a default.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, part of that decision to go with freemium was to have like the benefits of viral, you know, where you can have a lot of free users who are sharing it with one another and messaging with one another. And that's your top of funnel. In reality, what I saw, especially as we saw more and more coaches using Zip Message, was people were not using our free plan like a free plan. They were using it like a free trial, you know? So we would see a lot of people sign up for the free plan and then just convert to paid like on day one or within a few days. And we just did not see a lot of people using, like heavily using the free plan for a long period of time before upgrading, which is what you sort of want to see with a freemium product. You want to see that usage. You want to make the free plan even more generous to get that those high volume numbers at the top of the funnel. I just didn't fully commit to that as a strategy. It was limited in so many ways. But you know, now in this new world where we're speaking just to coaches, we're powering their entire business. We have this platform that does all these things. We're in a market now where these similar tools, and especially when you're using multiple tools, are in multiple hundred dollars a month, and they don't generally do free plans. We're entering a completely different environment around pricing. And so we are going to be changing our pricing. We're basically ending the free plan, going to a more traditional free trial, couple of new tiers, raising the prices a little bit. The base price is a little bit, the other prices will be higher. Mm-hmm. All these prices are going to be going live to new customers in April. New people starting, they'll be on the new plans. All the newest features like programs and workflows and spaces and then payments, like they're only going to be available on the new plans. Mm-hmm. The legacy plans, and this is where it's like all this extra work to to plan all this out and to handle the logistics of moving over everyone, right? So I've been working through this, and there are a couple of different groups of customers. There's like the general pool of legacy customers. So that's like anybody who is currently a paying subscriber on ZipMessage today. They will get a 3-month coupon to 30% off for 3 months when they upgrade to the new plans, and they'll have a long period of time, like between now and like the end of the year to make their upgrade. There's a smaller group of early access folks who run coaching businesses, and they've been asking for all these new features. They're getting in first, and I'm personally working with them and onboarding them and making sure that we have the product perfect for them. We're doing public case studies with them. So they'll be upgrading to the new plans, but they'll lock in a lifetime discount. It's been like a long time of like figuring out the logistics on this. And then, I mean, just the other thing is like changing domains too, you know. Again, going back to those like fundamental assumptions about the product, with ZipMessage, it was really important that everybody got like a ZipMessage.com/Rally or ZipMessage.com/Ryan, right? We're moving away from that. I mean, there still will be the intake pages that we have, but we're with this shift to Clarity Flow, accounts will be going to account slug or account name .clarityflow.com. Mm-hmm. And we'll be launching the ability to map your own domain to it. So you can just use your own website.
Okay. We have a lot of those issues between the, you know, marketing site, the admin, and then the pages on the web. And then the pages on the web, the merchant can, you know, plug in their own domain.
Yeah. So it's like a lot of like technical logistics around like just changing the domains and handling the subdomains. But then it's also like with these accounts, when you upgrade, you're also changing the domain on your account. It's been a lot of logistical work on like planning out the next few months, but that this game plan basically starts today with the launch of clarityflow.com, which as of today, it'll be this one pager asking for early access signups that goes to a survey, you know, to get more research on people who are reacting to what they see there. And then building out the rest of the pages. And then by April is when like the full website on clarityflow.com will be completed and fully launched. And that's when I'll start to like actually redirect zipmessage.com to Clarity Flow. And then it, yeah, so that's, I know there's like a lot. I just wanted to like get out finally on the podcast and not beat around the bush on it. But
yeah. Well, now we can settle in and kind of talk through this every single week.
Yeah.
But I think I have one last question is, you know, how you feel? You put a lot of work into this.
A ton of work.
You put in a big bet, you know?
That's what it is, big bet. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm still very much in the thick of it. I don't think that, you know, it's just not done yet. It will feel good to get it out there. And I have been sharing it privately with some customers already and all my friends and advisors. I've been sharing it behind the scenes, but it is good that the name and the domain will start to get out there. And now we are, you know, my developers and I were working on getting these new pricing stuff launched. And so I'm really eager to just get the new, like get us to April when we have the new plans live and the new website live. So, and that to me is where I feel like everything restarts. It's like we're back to the starting line, starting from that point forward. Because it's like right now we get signups, we get conversions, we get churns right now, but it's all in the world of ZipMessage, right? In April, all of that starts in the world of ClarityFlow, and it's like I just expect ZipMessage will continue to have the product market fit issues as long as it's the ZipMessage world, and everything else becomes more optimal and working with what the long-term vision is going to be with ClarityFlow, you know.
And I assume you can also start splitting your time more toward marketing and away from just, you know, constantly building and all the shifts and the rebranding and the new name and the new website, all the other things that have kind of are necessary to launch before you can start going on marketing.
100%. I'm already starting stuff on marketing right now. Not only just the new website, but like with the new website, planning out the whole content strategy. Once we have the site live, we'll be getting into some ads and stuff like that. Podcast for coaches, case studies with our customers. So, you know, I'm onboarding these customers. We need to be creating case studies out of them. So a lot of that work is happening, and it's still just not very calm. It's just, you know, we have a ton of work to do on the product. And that, you know, that's the other thing that's been on my mind a lot lately is this is actually a good thing if you step back, but it feels shitty in the moment, which is like literally every single day I either have paying customers sending me support requests like this doesn't solve my need, or can I do this with the product, this or that, or I have other people emailing like they're just looking at the product today, they haven't signed up yet, like can it do online courses, or how can I integrate this with my online course platform, or how can I do this or that. And it's just like constantly every single day, like requests and asks, like why does it not do this, or how come I can't achieve this, and my response is always like, ooh, all right, you can partially do it right now, but we're just a couple of weeks away from launching like some new features that will make this so much easier. And it's just that routine every single day. And that is like grating on me, to feeling like all these people keep asking for the same things and I don't have the product in hand to give it to them. So we're still working through that product roadmap to get it there, you know? But at the end of the day, I think that is a good sign, if I'm honest.
Right. It's also motivation. Frustrating, but
it's motivation, and it does show that there's this market of needs, and what's exciting to me about it is that they're all the same. Everyone's asking for the same things. I did not see it that way with Process Kit when I was working on that. I was getting a lot of requests for a lot of different things. This is like everyone's trying to use it in the same way, especially, and now we're attracting a lot more coaches. So they're all asking about it, like in building their coaching practice, which works very similarly from one to the next. Yeah.
Pretty exciting, man.
Yeah, man.
Congrats. It's out there. It's in the wild. Now we can kind of, you know, this is like a new, it's not even like a new chapter. This is like book one. is completed, and now book two of the series begins.
This is the sequel. Yep. Awesome. Yeah. What do you got going on your end?
Well, I don't know if there's that much for us to add on the Silicon Valley Bank situation, but it is really bad. Hopefully, by the time this podcast gets published next week, things have settled. But right now, startup land in the US is in full chaos. It is not even an overstatement to say that. My text messages and my inbox are full of VCs saying, are you okay? Do you have money in Silicon Valley Bank? You know, and everyone's checking on everyone else. And the bank failed.
We were talking before recording on this a little bit. So let's, for those who are not familiar with this or just not paying attention to it, because to be honest, I'm not involved in Silicon Valley Bank. It's just not necessarily something that's right on my radar. I would imagine there's actually a lot of bootstrapped startups and makers who are just like, all right, that I see a lot of stuff on Twitter, but what's actually happening here?
You know, yes, but also Silicon Valley Bank was the default bank account with Stripe Atlas for a very long time.
Mm, yeah.
Silicon Valley Bank is everywhere in the ecosystem. They process payroll. They do. I have my personal mortgage for this house that I'm sitting in with Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I opened that account, part of the deal there was to put money there. So I have personal money there. We don't have corporate money. We're at Chase and Mercury. But Silicon Valley Bank, I mean, the name refers directly to their market. They set up shop in Silicon Valley and they became the default bank for startups. And they have been a huge and essential part of the ecosystem, from venture debt to keeping your money there to treasury management to loan products to wealth management to individual people after they made money from their startups. A lot of VC funds have their money there. I mean, it is fully plugged in.
Yeah. So all of a sudden this morning, there's basically a run.
It was a run. And the very quick version of what happened was that they were incredibly successful in growing their assets under management over the last few years by something like $100 billion. Like they went from like $100 to $180 billion under management or something like that. With that, they started to look around to see what they should be doing with that capital. And somehow it appears someone over there had the idea to buy an enormous position in a bond portfolio, something like $80 billion or $60 billion of bonds yielding 1.5% over a 10-year time horizon. And what happened over the last few months is rates went up. If you're holding a bond portfolio and a set of securities that are yielding 1.5%, and now the risk-free rate from the government is at 4+%, the value of your portfolio has gotten decimated. Mm-hmm. And so what they did is what they needed to do, which is to shore up their position. So they sold about $20 billion worth of that portfolio, took a loss, and announced that they were doing a fundraise between selling off those securities and an equity capital raise. And when that happened, equity holders, this is a public company, equity holders knew they're going to get demolished by $2 billion in shares flooding the market to raise money. Hmm. And so the stock price went down by 50% in one day. And then all of a sudden, people from the outside are looking at this and saying, so a bank, like the 15th largest bank in the US, publicly traded, the stock price just went down 50%. And then people start to get worried. And then it's a very straightforward, like game theory, human chain of events.
Just get my money out.
Right. Well, I got, you know, imagine you're a startup, you have 200 employees, you have $50 million in Silicon Valley Bank. The game theory is very straightforward. It's safer to move at the Chase. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very straightforward.
Yep.
And then everyone's on Twitter and information spreads like wildfire. And yesterday, every VC in the Valley emailed their portfolio companies and said, we don't want to cause a bank run, but you might want to get your money over to here. And that happened everywhere all at once throughout Twitter, through all the social networking channels, between text messages, Slack, email, and then all at once, everyone took their money out and the bank failed this morning and the federal government took over today. Wow. That's it, 24 hours.
Incredible.
Incredible. So, and now people are stuck. If you have money there.
Yeah, that's my next question. It's like, what happens to the with this lack of liquidity for any companies that or people who have, you know, large sums of money that are still tied up in there?
Yeah. The crazy thing is, throughout all the things that I mentioned a minute ago, between stock price going down and bond portfolio losses, they still had plenty of money in terms of liquidity for depositors. Right. If you look at like a ratio of how much cash you actually need compared to your deposits, right? I mean, fractional banking makes that very low. So they had plenty of capital. Mm-hmm. But if everyone pulls it all at once, then no one has enough capital.
Yep.
So right now they're stuck. If you have money in Silicon Valley Bank, you cannot get your money. And the FDIC insures only up to $250,000. And then in some situations, $1 million or $2 million, depending on arrangement that the bank has with the federal government. And now the government has taken over. And so everyone got an email basically saying, all right, here's the process. If you have more than $250,000, you know, put your information in here, which is effectively like get on the list
get online.
Of bankruptcy protection.
Wow. Yep.
And it's very unlikely that depositors are not made whole. I don't think the US has allowed depositors to get washed out in a bank mm-hmm. crisis. Like, I don't even know when the last time it happened, you know.
Yeah.
They always make the depositors whole because this is the good old US of A, and you can't have that happening. Right.
But this is Silicon Valley Bank, which is like startups have their payroll tied up
in this. That's right. So payrolls are failing, and then you start to realize how deep into the ecosystem this is. Think about something like Stripe Atlas. We use Rippling, right? Rippling for HR runs our payroll. Rippling happens to use Silicon Valley Bank's rails for payroll. So even though our money is in Chase, if we want to pay payroll, I got an email today saying you must switch to our new JP Morgan partner like today if you want your payroll to go through.
Wow.
So it's just, it's everywhere. And Silvergate? Yeah, Silvergate Bank failed like last week. Hmm. So this is not good. This is not good.
Wow.
Silvergate was the bank that took the risk and took on a lot of money from crypto companies and was targeted.
Where does this, so if we could like trace back where something like this starts, is it just the state of the current economy with interest rates so high and like we're still not, you know, sort of like overheated a little bit there? Is that what's actually causing this, or
I think this is a scenario like the classic Warren Buffett, you know, when the water goes out, you see who's naked. And, you know, if things aren't managed properly with foresight, in hindsight, it looks pretty silly to put $60 billion into a bond portfolio, not only yielding 1.5%, but locked up or, you know, with a 10-year time horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that just tells you, well, if interest rates going to go up, you're going to get decimated. Maybe the logic was, all right, if interest rates go up, at worst, we sell for a loss and it's no big deal. But if you don't communicate that perfectly, you get what just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like it's amazing that like that kind of decision could happen and then trigger this chain of events, right?
Yeah. And it's psychological more than financial. So I don't know. I know what my reaction was privately, you know, sitting behind this desk last night at 10 p.m. My risk preference went to zero. And I went over to Mercury and I liquidated our treasury account that was earning 4%, and I'm making my way back to Chase. Hmm. So those like game theory, like when you're in private, how do you really think? Those things are happening everywhere. Hmm. And I mean, I'll be honest, I did the same thing with Wealthfront. I have money at Wealthfront because it's a great system, but kind of freaked me out because it's smaller.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the stuff that happens with these like confidence shakes, which is why the US government usually comes in and says, this is a fluke and we got it and everyone's gonna be made whole, to make sure that confidence stays there mm-hmm. so people don't freak the hell out. But wow. It is a bad day in the American startup economy.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah, dude. Well, what else is happening on ground level over at Rally HQ.
Yes, that's right. Thankfully, you know, that is
Can you share the new domain, or is that not yet?
You'll love it because it is getrally.com. Mm-hmm. So we do use, what do you call it, a modifier?
Yeah.
Yes, but.
Okay, that's, I like that better, I think, than, I mean, rally on is kind of cool because it's like kind of a catchphrase, but I could see how it's.
People call this rally on. They thought the product was called rally on, and which isn't like the worst thing in the world, but it just like became a little bit of a distraction.
Yep.
And then this came up and it wasn't expensive. So we just pulled the trigger.
Yeah, there you go. No big deal.
Yeah. And we're working on a new marketing site ourselves, which will probably launch in the next, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of perfect timing. I'm like, all right, let's just make all the changes. Right. It doesn't change the logo. Doesn't change the app domain and so on. So my week I spent in LA at a conference called the Montgomery Summit, which was as hoity-toity as it sounds. it was this beautiful conference at the Fairmont in Santa Monica. It was not bad in terms of being there, and they really ball out. So it's like dinner at the Getty Villa, and like it was all out.
What is this? What's the conference all about?
The conference is put on by March Capital. March Capital led our Series A, which eventually the announcement will go out sometime in the next 2 weeks or so. So these are lead investors. So these are people. We love them. But their DNA, their background comes from like the larger finance world. So this is like hedge funds, private equity, growth equity, and VC all mixed in. There are more people wearing blazers than not, right? Yeah. So this is not like a startup conference with t-shirts. This is like
buttoned up. This isn't a microconf.
It is not microconf. Yes. And you know, microconf I feel much more at home at, but it was amazing to see. So the opening conversation was between Jamie Montgomery, who's the founder of March Capital, and Mike Milken, right? The old school LBO king of junk bonds from the 80s, who's a brilliant guy and extremely, you know, multi-billionaire. So it was really interesting to hear all of the chatter and mood around the economy, around what's happening with later stage valuations and going public. And so it was cool to be there. And Jessica, our VP of product, you know, that I've been working with for 5+ years, came down with me. So we just had 3 days of just soaking it in and, you know, making plans and plotting. And we met with a few people in LA. We met with some people in our ecosystem. There was one night that was a dinner like for e-commerce industry. And I just come back from those types of events just so like, it's like the ambition just gets blown up like a balloon.
Yeah.
It's just like, you realize how big the world is.
Do you take
how big these opportunities are?
So a trip like this, what's your like primary, it sounds like there's like multiple reasons to go down there and have a good time. Yeah. Like, you know, there's the investors, you're going to go hang out with your team. What are the primary like touch points that you're looking for here? Is it just like FaceTime with the people that I'm associated with, get like build these quality relationships? Is it find partners to work with this year? Is it customer growth? Like, what are you thinking there?
So I would categorize it into like three parts. The number one part, when I go in and I'm talking to Jessica, like, all right, here's our goal. It's effectively putting ourselves in a position to capture serendipity. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to sit next to at dinner. So we're just going to go in and be open to what comes our way.
Right.
And that's how I generally like to go to a conference overall, because if I have like a really specific target, I'm going to talk to this person that is always like, oh, he had COVID. Actually, he's not here. You know, It's like impossible.
I think that captures the whole point of conferences in general, at least in my experience. It's that serendipity. It's like these are literal relationships that you're building. It's such a different experience than just knowing somebody on Twitter. You know, it's actually hanging out and getting drinks and doing dinners and then meeting some person that you never knew existed and they're doing something super interesting.
Yes, and it overlaps and they know someone that's doing something. So that was like point number one. We also had a very tangible point. We wanted to meet two people specifically that we set up a lunch with and like wanted to like mind meld in person. So that was really important. And then number three, the part that was unexpected, it was such an interesting experience because I had Jessica there with me at a lot of these meetings, right? So it was like three or four people in a meeting. And I share my thinking and my assumption and my stories with Rock and Jessica all the time. part of their difficulty is they just kind of have to take my word for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, this is what I'm seeing and feeling and sensing in the market. And they're like, all right, we don't see any proof because we're not in those conversations and Zoom calls and we're not putting together these pieces like you are, but you say so. Mm-hmm. This was a crazy opportunity where we went and we sat down with strangers. One of the things the Montgomery Summit does is it allows people that are going to request meetings.
Oh, so, and they just arrange it.
And it's like table 62 at the bungalows between 12:30 and 1. So it's it's just dozens of tables like that throughout the entire time with people meeting.
Oh, cool.
Which is great. And we, you know, I probably got 20 meeting requests and accepted like six of them because a lot of them are like, we invest $50 million at a time and we do, you know, we take people public. It's like, cool story, but it's not for us. Mm-hmm. So the people we had real overlap with, we meet with. So Jessica and I had so many of these meetings and the other person that we're meeting with told the same story of what's happening in the market that I tell them. And I kept looking over at Jessica like, huh? Yes, it's not just me.
Yeah. So she can vouch for you now.
Yes.
She can go back to Rock and the team and
like he's not crazy. Yep. This is really happening. This is what other people think also. Like we are going in the right direction. This is the part that's risky, but we heard it here and here and here.
And are these conversations like again, like it's more like this is what we're seeing and what are you seeing in the market and just mm-hmm. sort of like observational, like sharing yes. notes or is yeah, it
an
like,
example. I'll give you
like
an example.
We actually have like overlap in what we're doing. And
yeah, I'll give you an example. I talked to the founder of a company that runs a headless front end for e-commerce and they're going towards Salesforce and SAP. And from the conversation and my hunch and what the founder that I talked to said, they're going up market there because those merchants are in so much pain and they want to modernize and modernizing on the front end first is a great pitch for them. Like we understand mm-hmm. you're never getting off SAP. It's going to take 3 years to do that, but right. modernize where it matters most, where your shoppers interact.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have that conversation through
me. I just like the way that you just described that. Like that seems like a really, for me, like as like an outsider to the whole headless e-commerce ecosystem, mm-hmm. That's one of the things that just sort of like clicks with me. Like you go to these large entrenched brands that are on these old legacy systems and like this is your path to upgrading on the front end.
Right. One piece at a time. That's like yeah. composable commerce, whatever it is, what it's turning into at the enterprise is we're never getting off of this, you know, CRM or this mm-hmm. PIM or this thing or this order management system, but we want to do things that actually affect the customer. Okay, so that's a conversation, and then that goes to Rock and Jess, and what it turns into for Rock and Jess is that is an enormous amount of work to do an SAP integration. And so it's riding on like a piece of insight for me, which is, you know, cool and all. I've kind of led us into good places in the past, but that's a big leap of faith.
Yep.
So then we go there, and we meet someone who works at SAP. Or we work or we talk to someone, you know, someone who works at an agency and they're and then they parrot back that same logic without me saying anything about it at all. And it's just another important outside data point on an assumption yep. that I brought into the company and I'm making an argument for. And that it's very, very helpful.
Yeah. Excited. Yeah. I don't know how much more time we got. I think you mentioned some new go-to-market stuff.
Yeah, we had two people start on the go-to-market team. Someone in like partnerships and business development and an SDR. Okay. And what's happening, you know, it's great when it works out this way, but this week we just have a bunch of good things happening. Mm-hmm. Our GMV is like 50% up where it normally is. People that use the product and left are coming back this week. Other people are saying yes and onboarding, and these people are joining at the same time. So it just feels
nice,
great to have that momentum. And it's funny how that happens when you're like out of town, just so everyone knows, like this is the team effort. I can be out of town. I'm not necessary. Oh, it's yeah. not like me like pushing things forward. Like, no, this is the team doing this.
That's the dream. That's the best part, you know, thing when yep. just things are happening, right?
Yeah, it is there's a scary, stressful undertone. When we went to the conference, it feels like most startups are in one of three places. The first place, actually healthy, making money, profitable or close to it, right? Yep. That's the first, that's where everyone wants to be. The second place is you raised a lot of money at a very high valuation, and you have an enormously difficult time catching up to that valuation, right? If you succeeded in fundraising over the last few years and you raise $100 million at a $1 billion valuation, you need to grow so much to get close to a $1 billion valuation again, that that is extremely stressful. And a lot of people are looking around and saying, I don't think this is worth the next 5 years of my life. And they're starting to leave that situation.
Yeah. Huh.
And then the third part is you don't have enough money, you're not profitable, and good luck raising money right now.
Right.
So everything feels very, very tough. Mm. An investor, the only good thing is that investors at the later stages are losing hope in that recovering. And so a lot of that money is being pointed downstream to new companies, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So seed stage, pre-seed is still in good shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still in this, you know, you're talking about how, like, you know, you're out of town this weekend, but like things are happening in the business right now. I still feel like everything has to basically start with me. And what I'm trying to do now is, like, you know, we have three developers and myself and a marketing person, a couple of marketing people. And like, I'm trying to get it to a point where like I am starting these projects and then they're off and running. Now I can start the next one. And so like cause this transition, ZipMessage to Clarity Flow, is like so many different projects happening at the same time. Like literally, like one dev is overhauling our billing logic. And another dev is working on our big programs feature. You know, I'm working on a new client onboarding setup for coaches. And then I've got the website, and then I got to get my team going on the content strategy. It's like, if I could just do the first 10-15% of like the creative input on each of those and then put it into the queue for my team, that's how I'm trying to like survive through this big transition right now. And it's really, it's just really chaotic. But I think that's like my mental model on this is like, multiple projects, I do the first 10-15%, then hand it off and let somebody else own the rest of it.
Gets it off on the right foot in the right direction.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time like scoping it out, and we do a lot of shaping and talking about it, and then they're off and running, and then I'll probably come in near the end and like finish up the feature or whatever it is, and then, you know, but it's just a lot of stuff happening.
Oh yes. Well, you know, this thing is hard no matter what you do, and you have like made it much harder over the last few months, but it feels like it's the right thing to do. And I'm looking forward to over the next few weeks, kind of digging into like, you know, feature decisions, positioning, what competition looks like. And, you know, the big thing I think that everyone needs to be thinking a lot more about than they used to is just go to market. How do you get this in the hands of people and in front of their eyeballs?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the next few weeks because it's like shit's about to really get real. It's like finally we can start again and just get all this stuff really up and launched, you know.
Cool. Well, let me be the first to tell you because no one else knows. But congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, we did it. Another week.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Later, folks.